Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd. And Sean, summer still holding on. And you can still count the stars because the skies are wide open.
Man, especially where you're at, Sean Wally, in the Pacific Northwest. Man, I hear that there's a heat wave going on up there. And it seems like every time we talk, every week, one of us, whether it's in the Pacific Northwest or here in Northern California, is going through immense heat. So it's been beautiful up there, I hear.
Absolutely. Can't complain. The final days of upper 80s, maybe lower 90s, depending which side of the Cascades you are on, and doesn't get any better than this. And who knows, maybe an Indian summer will extend deep into September.
Man, wouldn't that be great for the state of Washington, you know, having those long summers? I remember those, you know, where the leaves change to the different colors and, you know, the sky kind of takes on an orangish hue, but it's still beautiful nonetheless. And, man, we've got a lot to talk about on the show today, man. We've got three guests, Mr. Wally. Count them. One, two, three. And I'm excited for each and every one of our guests here on the Double.
Well, Sean, I can tell you that Clover Park taught you well because you got to three with no issues whatsoever. So Lakewood, Washington, and the Clover Park School District representing. But yeah, three guests. We've done it before, but it's been a while. And, you know, we're going to have to talk fast, ask good questions, and let them tell us what they have to say. We've got Greg Bell, the Seahawks insider for the Tacoma News Tribune, coming up here in about 6 minutes, followed by a guy you know down there in the 916, former Sacramento King Harold Presley, Sean.
Yeah, man, Harold Presley, I'm excited to have him on. And, you know, Harold does some great things in the community here in the Sacramento area. Actually, he does, Yuleman's work all around the country. So I'm looking forward to having him on. Of course, most people know Harold Presley from playing on one of the probably the best NCAA basketball teams. And we'll talk about that when he gets on. And I'm sure he loves talking about that story. And then, of course, we have Joseph McGinnis, who is a promoter for United Games. For those of you who don't know about United Games, you're going to learn about it at the end of the show. So Sean Wally, three guests here on the show, but more importantly, this lets us know and this gives us the chance to flex on the many sports and the changes in the season. Now, you had mentioned that, fall is upon us, but at the same time, man, we've got three sports going on at the same time, or actually we don't have them, but we'll talk about NFL football. Preseason is underway. And of course, Greg Bell, Seahawks insider, we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk about the NBA and all things basketball.
The who? What?
All things basketball with Harold Presley. And then we'll wrap up everything with Joseph McGinnis, United Games. So we'll talk about every last sport that you could possibly imagine. An action-packed show, Sean Wally. I can't wait to get it started.
NFL football, college football on the horizon. Of course, the final dreaded fourth week of preseason football, fifth week if you happen to play in the Hall of Fame game, which of course we know was canceled due to field conditions improper there in Canton, Ohio. But, you know, football is ready. Football is here. And a guy that knows everything inside and out about the game of football is with us now on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines, and that is Greg Bell, the Seahawks insider for the Tacoma News Tribune. Greg, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, guys. How the heck you guys been? It's been a while.
Man, good, Greg, and thanks for coming on and being a guest once again, man. We always enjoy having you on here on The Double. And, of course, we're going to talk about some Seahawks, man. And, you know, they had a great showing this past week, of course, beating the Dallas Cowboys 27-17. What were some things that you saw an improvement on this last game?
Well, they got a pass rush. Tony Romo learned that firsthand, and Cliff Avril did the entire NFC East a big favor by knocking Romo out for half the season, it looks like. Broken bone in his back. They blitzed a lot to do it, though, and that's not how they normally go about getting a pass rush. Their four-man rush did not get anything against Minnesota the previous week, and that was against a backup quarterback. John Hill played for Teddy Bridgewater that night 2 weeks ago. So that was the priority on defense, was to get more of a pass rush and affect the offense rather than the offense dictate to them. And the starters played into the third quarter, and as Dallas played only the first half, so the Seahawks had about half a quarter there in the third quarter of their starting defense going to get that against the Cowboys' second offense. And then offensively, the starters got their first points of the preseason in three games, 20 points behind Russell Wilson's best game by far so far this summer, 16-21, 192, and two touchdowns. So now they can take this Thursday game off. The starters can Thursday at Oakland, the last preseason game, and let the guys that are trying to make the team play. And the offense feels good about, okay, we've got a passing game now, and that's without Jimmy Graham yet being on the field full go. And Thomas Rawls hasn't yet been in the backfield. And the defense turns nine starters. They look every bit as aggressive and prime for another strong season, the first since the 1950s. Cleveland Brown to lead the league in fewest points allowed four consecutive years. So that remains the strength of the team, and as long as Rawls and Graham are still coming back, this team's going to win behind their defense.
And speaking of the defense, Greg, of course, Bobby Wagner had a great game. He had seven tackles total, four solo, and then, of course, there was a Cliff Avril sighting in the background, in the backfield. He had 1.5 sacks. So these guys are definitely primed and ready. It was good to see Earl Thomas in the secondary along with Richard Sherman. These guys do look like they're ready for the regular season to start.
Well, it's so tough in the preseason, guys. They don't game plan. The Cowboys aren't game planning. Dak Prescott played all but three plays with the starting offense because Romo got knocked out. Ezekiel Elliott was playing his first game for the Cowboys as a pro after a hamstring injury. And again, the Seahawks defense wasn't game planning. They weren't showing a lot of things that they'll show once the games get real. So there's not a whole lot to read into it, but it is pretty clear that this team will still be led by its defense. And they're promising, even though Marshawn Lynch is retired and riding camels and Australia with Cal football and all the other things he's doing, they're still going to run the ball. And it's whether it's Thomas Rawls or it's Tristan Michael, who's reborn himself in a second go-around with the Seahawks, or rookie C.J. Procise from Notre Dame is the new third-down back. Alex Collins, fifth-round pick from Arkansas, a three-time 1,000-yard rusher in the SEC. No matter who it is, they promised to run the ball, but they saw at the end of last season that with Russell Wilson can get the ball out on time and get some semblance of pass protection when he threw for 4,000 yards last season. They'll throw the ball more this year than they did last year.
Greg Bell joining us of the Tacoma News Tribune, the Seahawks insider. Now, Greg, if you had to place a bet, week one, Miami visiting Seattle at CenturyLink September 11th, the starting running back will be Thomas Rawls, who's been nursed along and kept undercover, or the resurgence of C-Mike, Kristen Michael.
I think it'll be Thomas Rawls. I think he's ready to go. And had that been a regular game last week, that serves against Dallas, I think he would have played in that. He's been back now 2 weeks, fully in the offense, full pads, full go. And his broken ankle was December 13th, torn ligaments as well. And as bad as that sounds and as bad as Rawls said it was to come back from, it's not as complicated as Jimmy Graham's knee injury and patellar tendon surgery. So he's ahead of Graham in the recovery. I'm not as sure Graham will be back for the opener, but I'm pretty certain, as are Pete Carroll and the Seahawks offense, that Thomas Rawls will be in the backfield. He's actually, Rawls and Carroll have both proclaimed that's going to happen September 11th against Miami.
Now on the horizon, Greg, the cuts from B. beyond 90 players down to 75. Any surprises you see looming on the horizon? Of course, receiver is an interesting spot. There's a lot of talent, but not enough roster spots. What do you think will happen on cut day on Tuesday?
Well, we already got about six of them, actually exactly six of them today, including Brandon Browner, former, the original Legion of Boom member of the Seahawks secondary when they won the Super Bowl in 2013. They brought him back after he had a terrible season with New Orleans last year. He's a no-risk veteran minimum contract, and he was a third-string safety in the last preseason game. He wasn't in practice yesterday or today, so it was pretty clear they were going to cut him, and they did today. Another guy that started for the Seahawks last year, credited with the turnaround of their offensive line, center Patrick Lewis. He's got about a $1.7 or so million deal as a restricted free agent, but Justin Britt has taken over the job as a new center. The former guard and tackle has taken that job, and he will be, I think, Lewis, too expensive to keep. I would expect them to cut him as well. So that's two starters, the former starters of the Seahawks, cut on the very first cutdown. You mentioned the receivers. There are a couple of number five type receivers. The four receivers are set. Paul Richardson is back, the second-round draft pick from Colorado a couple of years ago. He had a second knee reconstruction in 3 years. Then last year he had a hamstring pull in his only game back in November, missed the rest of the year. He says he's as fast as he was before the second knee injury, and he's been timed 4.28 in the 40 before. He could be a deep threat along with Tyler Lockett. So there's two. And then Doug Baldwin, new $46 million man, is the number one receiver, and Jermaine Kearse is back as number two. So really, it's a competition for the fifth receiver. Kasen Williams had that job at the end of last season, but he's had a hamstring injury for the last 2.5 weeks, can't get on the field, came back for one day, got hurt again. I don't think he's going to make the team. Neither is Kevin Smith, who played on the active roster at times at the end of last season. Those are two former undrafted free agents. So then you got a bunch of undrafted and street free agents competing for that fifth wide receiver spot. And one is Tanner McAvoy. He's a 6'6", former quarterback, former running back at Wisconsin, an undrafted free agent who they had at safety this past spring. Then they moved into wide receiver at the beginning of training camp. Then with all the injuries they've had at tight end, they moved him to tight end, and he keeps making plays. And then he got hurt in the Dallas game. He got a groin injury. So if he is healthy, I think he could be the fifth wide receiver slash tight end they would like to keep for versatility and special teams. But because of injury issues, Douglas McNeil is another one who could make the team. But there's a host of guys who could make that fifth wide receiver spot. The first four are set.
Greg Bell joining us here on the double. Now, Greg, you mentioned a lot of players that are kind of moving around and making different changes. What has been the biggest surprise thus far in the preseason for the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, one is I think Rawls coming back as quickly as he did. I thought maybe he would be a question mark to start the regular season, but he got back sooner than I think even the Seahawks thought he might. The second is that Justin Britt has claimed the center job pretty easily. I thought that'd be a competition with Patrick Lewis, but Britt's been the starting center since the first day of off-season minicamps and the first day of training camps, the first preseason game. The Seahawks are on their third, fourth center in the, what has it been, 16, 17 months since they traded Max Unger to New Orleans for Jimmy Graham. And they can't find the answer yet. And now they're getting Justin Britt, who's in his third position in three NFL seasons, and asking him to do that job. And that is going to be the biggest question mark and issue for the Seahawks all through the early part, probably all the way into the end of the regular season. Defenses are going to try to exploit that, especially the one in Arizona, as attacking, as blitzing as they are. They are really going to challenge Justin Britt in recognition, disguising, blitzing, fake blitzing, overloading one side, all the things that they gave problems to the Seahawks centers last year, they're going to throw at Justin Britt. The Rams will do it. They've always given the Seahawks problems along the line of scrimmage. If the 49ers had a defense left, they would give them trouble as well. It's just that they've had so many defections, retirements, and depletions that I'm not sure they're nearly the formidable task they used to be for the Seahawks. But suffice to say, the offensive line will remain this team's issue. Russell Wilson succeeded without a great offensive line, despite his offensive line in recent years. He may have to do it again this year.
Greg Bell giving us our fill for the Seattle Seahawks and the start of the regular season, joining us here on the double. Now, Greg, I want to shift gears a little bit and go to college football. And, of course, the University of Washington Huskies, those tough dogs on the Palouse, preseason number 14. I mean, is that a legitimate ranking for the Washington Huskies?
Well, I do have to correct you because people in Seattle would be very upset that you would equate the Huskies to the team on the Palouse, which is the Washington State Cougars.
Oh, gosh. You know what?
Which
yeah.
is a,
you know what? You're
a,
right.
Which
I'm
is
sorry.
A mortal, not, mortal like... sin out there. More, I just don't want to go on without having recognized
no,
that because I can
I stand,
heat up here.
I stand corrected. Thank you very much. I don't know where that came from. My goodness. Those dogs on the Mott Lake. Thank you,
Mott
Greg.
Lake, there you go.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you for setting that straight.
Greg, unfortunately, Sean Boyd's been away from the Pacific Northwest too long, and apparently he equates the Palouse along Mott Lake.
Oh, my God, and my phone is blowing. Thank you very much. Thank you. I feel real stupid. Thank you very much.
That's okay. I hate to point it out, but I didn't want someone else to point it out to you. Only a friend. So that's what a friend's for. No, Chris Peterson has a loaded defense, and that's why they're the 14th ranked team in the country. They have a returning quarterback, Jake Browning, who was a freshman last year and played like one for the early part of the year. And by the end of the year, he's making the reads and plays and throws that he was thought to be coming out of the Sacramento area. They've got a bruising and very electric running game. They have a returning offensive line that's still young but already experienced. The kids that had to play last year are going to be the advantage for that offense this year for the Huskies. Washington loves what Peterson's done, the whole program. I mean, from nutrition to class to what they wear on the road, that he has done everything after coming in for Steve Sarkisian. He's changed the tone of everything. Sarkisian was more of a very freewheeling guy and a friend of the players, and there's a very clear line between Chris Peterson, the authority, and the rest of the program and the players, and they've all bought in. It took a little bit of time, I think, especially the ones recruited by Sarkisian, but they saw the results at the end of last season, winning the bowl game in Dallas like they did, an 8-7-6 regular season. They're talking Rose Bowl up here, and that's a lofty goal. And I saw Sports Illustrated, I think, and a couple others, Boarding News, I think it was, who picked them to potentially go to the college football playoff, which would blow a bunch of people's minds up here. I'm not sure they're ready for that yet. It might be a year or two away for contending for national championships. But they're in the topic of the Pac-12 North. Of course, they can't talk about winning the Pac-12 North until they beat Oregon, which they haven't done since about Donald Duck was 5 years old. So they have to beat Oregon before they start talking about Rose Bowl.
Now, Greg, you spent a lot of time in your professional career covering the Washington Huskies. And
I did.
The expectations are through the roof. Why do you think that is? I mean, realistically, last season they were 7-6. And now you've got people placing them as high as 14, talking about the college football playoff. And like Coach Peterson says, they've done nothing yet.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for it. One is the hunger. This is a former class of the Pac-10. It used to be UCLA, USC, UCLA, and Washington. And not just for in the Pac-10, but nationally. That was the class of the West Coast. And it hasn't been that way for dozens of years. And Don James' era is what these people are thirsting for. And a lot of people equate, especially the older people around Washington, equate the way that Peterson is running his program with the way Don James came here from Kent State in the early 70s. And I'm talking about the discipline and the attention to detail, not just in football, but in life skills and the quality of the student-athlete that they recruit and the discipline and the life lessons and how he is a very fatherly figure to each and every one of these kids in the program. Winning, we'll see whether he's Don James-like, but at least the foundation he's built. Don James didn't win overnight here in Seattle either. No coach does come in and building a new program. And I think that is the natural progression of people out here think, okay, Chris Peterson's now entering year three. He's got a lot of his recruits that he brought in himself are now getting on the field and having impacts on games where before the last 2 years it's been Steve Sarkisian's recruits. That and the fact, like I mentioned, is so much experience returning, experience that is still underclassmen, sophomores and juniors that are in key positions, quarterback, lead running back. Their offensive line is littered with sophomores and juniors. These are guys who have already played 20-plus, 30-plus games and yet they're still young, they're still relatively healthy. And it's just a projection here that if they've gone to 7-6 in his second year with not even his own players, imagine what this accomplished guy, the winningest foot coach in college football when he left Boise State to come to Washington, imagine what he will do with his own guys after he's done what he's done without his own guys.
Now, Greg, your day job that pays the bills is to cover the Seattle Seahawks, but obviously you're keeping tabs on the Washington Huskies. And Chris Peterson, you mentioned Don James, the dog father. Peterson, a disciple of the Don James era. How is it that he can turn this program around so quickly when others, including past coach Steve Sarkisian, had the verbiage to say they want to be the next Don James, but their actions were completely different?
Well, I would tell you the results were completely different. I was intimately familiar with Sarkisian's regime. I was on the inside of that. I saw the players he recruited and the talent he recruited. And I would tell you that the cupboard that Chris Peterson inherited at Washington was not nearly as bare as a lot of coaches that come into programs inherit. There was real skill. I mean, NFL skill. Danny Shelton's a first-round draft pick. Shaq Thompson, a first-round draft pick. There were three first-round draft. Marcus Peters, NFL Rookie of the Year last year. Those are all guys that Steve Sarkisian recruited. Keith Price, who I think should deserves a shot in the NFL somewhere. He was a record-setting. He owns dozens and dozens of passing records at Washington. Bishop Sankey, who got drafted by the Tennessee Titans and high in the NFL draft. I mean, the talent that he's had come out of this program, he just didn't have the wins and it didn't translate. There were some national profile games under the Sarkisian era that had they won, they would have gotten major bowl games. They just couldn't beat Oregon. And they lost a lot of close games at Stanford. I can remember games that they lost in the last seconds at Stanford that when they could have been a top 10 team had they beaten Stanford. They actually beat Stanford a couple times up here in Seattle under Sarkisian. So when Peterson got here, let's remember, it wasn't that they fired Peterson, it's not that they fired Sarkisian, it's that Sarkisian left to go to USC. Sarkisian was going to be here a long time, as long as Scott Woodward, the former athletic director, was going to be here. Now, Woodward left about a year and a half after Sarkisian did to go to Texas A&M. But my point is that Peterson didn't inherit a drift program. It wasn't Steve Sarkisian inheriting the 0-12 Huskies of Tyrone Willingham in the previous turnover. And I think he got a head start. So you combine what was already here with what he's recruited, Jake Browning being an example of that, with what Peterson preaches, what he represents, and the stability he portrays, and how the entire athletic department and the culture at upper campus at Washington have all aligned with his philosophies. It's been a really good I would say he started at a little higher plane than most coaches trying to redo a program do.
Now, Greg, we're talking the Washington Huskies, and, of course, the season opener coming up September the 3rd. Rutgers comes into town on Montlake. And, of course, Washington has a great, great season opener record. I believe it's 85-35-6. I looked that up a little while ago. I believe that's the number. Now, Rutgers coming in, I mean, should this be a cakewalk for the Huskies?
Well, you're straying a little bit out of my level of expertise, but I do know that they're a 26-point favorite. I do know Rutgers has a new head coach after flopping in the initial season in the Big Ten last year. I also know that first games don't often come out the way a team's going to look for it later in the season. I'm talking about Washington in this case. The expectations, getting on the field, playing a game the first time, it always struck me in college that when I covered them on a daily basis, there are no preseason games in college, as you know. So the season opener tends to be a sloppy, penalty-filled, preseason-quality affair, like an NFL preseason game. And you don't see a lot of times the true value and the true talent and the true performance of a team in that first game. That's why teams schedule Rutgers for their opener rather than the made-for-TV primetime games that the top schools get. So, yeah, I think Washington wins at home, and there's a reason they're 86-35 or whatever you quoted the record is for openers, because they usually schedule at Rutgers in their first game, or a 1AA team in the last 5 years or so that they've gone to start scheduling those. So they have a very soft schedule in September. They should be undefeated when they host Stanford on a Friday night in early October in a national televised game that will go a long way to deciding the Pac-12 North. But I don't think you're going to see on this Saturday the team, the 14th ranked team in the country, play like one. And you might hear some whispers that Washington's overranked. But that's, again, because the teams don't always show their best foot forward at the very first game because it's the first time they've been on a field in competitive environments in 8-9 months.
You know, we had guest Terry Holloman, on the show this past week, and he mentioned the same sentiments that you mentioned as far as the strength of schedule for, the Big Five conferences and, the reason why they do what they do. And, I guess the University of Washington's used the Rutgers, the Idahos, the Portland States as that preseason cursor before they meet their Pac-12 foes.
They have to, because otherwise they're going to be heading into a 9-game conference schedule that is one of the most competitive conferences in the country. And then you lose three, say you go 5-4 in your conference, you've got 7 losses and you don't even go to a bowl game because you've overscheduled early in the season. Now, if you're Alabama or you're Texas or you're Notre Dame, for instance, then you can schedule those teams. But Texas may be a bad example for how down they've been recently. But then you get the ESPNs to throw boatloads of money at you and you play USC Alabama in the opener or Clemson at Auburn and things like that. But when you're a team that's trying to get to the top 5 or 10 in your country, you got to win the games in September so that you have 8 or 9 wins so that you can get to a bowl game that's an upper bowl game and that catapults you on to the next season. So Sarkisian and Don James started an ABC scheduling program. I mean, Don James used to have Northwestern in here in Seattle when Northwestern was one of the worst teams in the country. It's nothing new for major college teams to schedule barely Division I teams. Washington only recently went to 1AA. They, USC, Notre Dame were some of the last teams in the country to have all 1A opponents, all top-level opponents, never scheduling below 1A. And Washington just a couple years ago scheduled Portland State, and now they have some football championship subdivision teams on their schedule. But it's a fact of life, and out here the Pac-12 will tell you, if you're going to make us play 9 conference games as opposed to the SEC, well, plays only 8, you're going to make me play 9 conference games, I'm going to get a couple wins by scheduling in September so that it'll cushion me to afford a couple losses in conference play.
True fact indeed. And now, Greg, of course, this Thursday we had talked a little bit about the Seattle Seahawks. They're taking on the Oakland Raiders, and of course this should be a snoozer. No starter should play more than one series, and then we get a chance to see the rest of these guys trying to make the 53-man roster. Now, you had the chance to cover the Oakland Raiders over the years. Kind of give us an insight on what you see, or have you taken a look at what the Raiders are doing? They're supposed to be okay this year.
Their defense, I mean, Khalil Mack, and the guys they have on defense are good. And I remember the Seahawks went down there a couple preseasons ago and just got throttled. Derek Carr won the job as a starting quarterback by beating the Seahawks in the first half of the final preseason game. McGoin was going to win that job, if I remember correctly, and Carr just lit up the Seahawks starting defense in the first quarter. The Seahawks actually came off. They pulled the starters out of the game because they were getting roasted, and Carr ended up winning the job and has been the starter ever since. I like what I see at Derek Carr from a distance. Not afraid to throw the ball. Reminds me of Daryl LaMonica way, way, way back in the day, or even you guys probably. And they like to throw the deep ball, but now they have a coach, Jack Del Rio, that believes in defense. And like I said, Mack and the athleticism and the youth, and now they have Ken Norton Jr., the former Seahawks linebacker coach, running that defense. They signed Bruce Irvin to be the playmaking outside linebacker from Seattle. I really like what they've done. And the quarterbacks' names that I see coming out of Denver to try to defend that not only conference title but division title, Trevor Siemian, I think the guys like Mack and Irvin are licking their chops at going after a guy named Trevor Siemian twice this season for the division title. I have picked in the paper that's going to come out next week, I pick Oakland to win the AFC West because of their youthful attacking defense and how good Derek Carr has progressed.
Well, Greg, you just gave Sean Boyd reason to smile brightly for the entire night, if not the entire NFL season in 2016.
And that comes from a guy who covered the Raiders' last Super Bowl now. That's been a day or three.
Wow.
So I was there in San Diego, and I was trying to find out where Parrot Robbins was and whether he was even still alive. And Yeah, I
was bless your heart.
So it doesn't come lightly that I say they're going to win the division, because I know it's been a day or three down there.
Hey, Greg, I think that quarterback that Derek Carr beat out was Matt Flynn. Now, I could and I have to thank Seattle for that one. Seattle gave us some magic beans with Matt Flynn, but
bag of rocks.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Matt Flynn was going to be the starting quarterback until Russell Wilson happened. I mean, yeah. He was the starting quarterback in 2012. They signed him in the offseason because of the one huge game he had for Green Bay against Detroit when they rested Aaron Rodgers at the end of the season. And 2012 in the spring, they signed Matt Flynn. They printed up thousands of Matt Flynn number 15 jerseys in Seattle. He was the lead franchise quarterback. Here we go. He got him a multi-million-dollar deal, and he never saw the field. Wilson played. Carroll decided to start Russell Wilson in the third preseason game at Kansas City. It's become a famous story of lore up here. Wilson lit it up, and Matt Flynn never saw the field again. Wilson started from the day game one of his rookie year, and Matt Flynn was cut and gone and went to Oakland. And so, yeah, there you walk around town, you see poor little kids who parents don't take care of them too well still wearing Matt Flynn jerseys.
So, Greg, what you're saying
is how you know up here. That's how you know up here if a kid's not treated well, if his poor parents are making that kid wear a Matt Flynn Seahawks jersey.
So are you trying to say you do not have a Matt Flynn number 15 Seahawk jersey?
No, but I remember. I distinctly remember a woman friend of mine who was trying to buy a new Seahawks jersey. She wanted to buy a new Seahawks jersey. She knew Tavares Jackson wasn't going to be the starter anymore. And she asked me, who should I get? Should I get Jermaine Kearse? I said, why don't you get Matt Flynn? He's going to be their starting quarterback. And that poor woman threw down 90-plus bones on a Matt Flynn jersey. And I think I bought her 90-plus bones worth of beer because of how much I dreaded her.
I was about to ask if you had paid her back. So good to hear that you probably have in kind, for sure.
And then so.
All right, Greg, final two questions here. Seattle Seahawks, a lot of so-called experts see them deep into the playoffs, potentially the Super Bowl. Where do you have them sitting as we head into the 2016 season?
I think the Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals are the two best teams in the NFC. I know Green Bay is a favorite, but I'm not sold on their defense and their running game yet in Green Bay. I think Arizona's defense is even better with MDK, the first-round draft pick, added to a defense that already was strong and blitzing to begin with. I just am not convinced that Carson Palmer at age 96 is going to have the season that he had last year. And as the Cardinals are going to win the division, have top seed in Seattle at Arizona for the NFC title. If Palmer is more like Palmer has been for the rest of his life, and to think the Seahawks, because their schedule is a lot more forgiving earlier in the season this year, they don't have to go on the road for the first 2 days. They don't have at St. Louis, because St. Louis doesn't exist anymore. They don't have at Green Bay on a Sunday night like they did last year. So they're not going to be 0-2 like they were last year. They're not going to be 2-4. So instead of being down 31-0 at Carolina in the divisional championship, divisional playoffs, they're going to be at home in the divisional playoffs this year. That's the only three times the Seahawks have made the Super Bowl, guys, I think you know this, is because they had, after having home field advantage and the number one seed in the NFC, I think it'll come down to who has the top seed and the home field advantage in the NFC, but it's going to be Seattle and Arizona in the NFC title game.
An NFC West NFC championship game would be amazing. Greg Bell, we know you're not the columnist for the News Tribune. You don't always get to express your opinions. Your thoughts as a graduate of West Point on...
No, you guys are deep diving here. Okay.
On whatever... is going on in the head of Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco and the whole national anthem fiasco?
Well, let me say this, I asked Richard Sherman some questions about this today. I thought Sherman was very eloquent and thoughtful about it, and I agree with Sherman in this regard. There is no doubting what Colin Kaepernick is saying is spot on. And this country has a race equality issue. It has had it for generations, and it has a history of it that some people tend to forget. And I will go on record as saying I agree with what Kaepernick is saying about the oppressed minorities in this country. And in 2016, it should not be as prevalent a problem as it is. But, it's a big but to me, if the flag represents more than one quarterback's cause or one quarterback's opinion. And whatever he thinks about this country, the flag is something else. And the national anthem is a representation of the flag. And if he wants to make a statement with a sign or spoken words or whatever, that is his prerogative, and of course his prerogative is to sit for the national anthem. But I will say that he and those who do not stand for the national anthem are ignoring what that represents or not caring what that represents. And to me, it represents the flag. It represents the freedom that that flag flies, and it represents, most of all, the people who have sacrificed their lives. And I'm not just talking military members. I'm talking people, civil servants, people in private sector who've worked in military jobs, who've been blown up in contracting roles overseas, friends of mine, classmates of mine from West Point who have died in combat, people who came way before us and wars that will come ever since, future kids and sons and daughters. That's all what the national anthem and the flag represent. And I think that that is where Kaepernick has erred. He's crossed a line that represents more than racial equality, which is a huge, huge, huge issue in and of itself. But if you start sitting for the national anthem and disrespecting the anthem and the flag, I think you're crossing a line that's going beyond racial inequality to the very freedoms that allows him to do that. And I think he disrespected those freedoms.
Greg Bell, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and your knowledge. Follow Greg at G Bell Seattle. And, of course, the Seahawks insider at the Tacoma News Tribune. Thanks for your time, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Take care, guys. Thank you.
There goes Greg Bell, full of insight on all kinds of sports and issues, NFL, college, and, of course, what's going on in the world right now.
Man, yeah, it's a man. That was a heavy, heavy topic that Greg talked about, you know, with the Colin Kaepernick situation. And you know, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, this, you know, Colin's choice goes either way. You know, I could see, you know, both sides of the argument. I just think that, you know, as you know, because Greg is a former Marine, as you mentioned, at West Point, and I believe that, you know, he fought the good fight so that people like Colin Kaepernick can have the liberties and the freedoms to say what he wants, you know. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, we are in a racially tense time, you know, in America. And, you know, these things are really polarized in more ways than one. And so it is tough, man. It's a tough situation. I know that, you know, it's talk at the dinner tables, you know, in my household. And so, you know, we'll just wait and see this one out. You know, I do believe in the ability to protest, and I do understand on the other side on what, you know, our flag stands for. So yeah, that's a tough one, Sean.
Absolutely. And Sean, maybe next week or 2-3 weeks down the road, we can have time to have a forum where we have different leaders and different people from every walk of life, military, all colors of the rainbow involved in our show, to where we can try to understand each side.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, and that's what it's all about. I mean, you're talking about a time of the year. I mean, this is an election year. And so there are a lot of, you know, opinions that are being brought out left and right. And no pun intended. And, you know, there are some things that we need to figure out as a country. You know, it just takes one step at a time. But I believe that we can definitely overcome this.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be, you know, something debatable for years to come. And hopefully one day in the history books, and people can look back and try to figure out which way is right, which way is up. And, you know, between now and the next 6 months, 12 months, 6 years, maybe, between debate and honest democracy, we can try to come to the proper conclusion.
Yeah, you know, and it's a big deal, because don't get me wrong, I don't want, you know, to come across like this isn't something that is very serious. It's very serious. I just think that in the end, the cooler heads will prevail. The more we talk about this, the more that, you know, we'll get an understanding on, you know, what's going on with the tensions in America and understanding why people do what they do, like Colin Kaepernick and the protesting. I mean, I think that, you know, I have to, you know, give it to him for exercising his right. I do think that it's a little overdone as far as, you know, the unpatriotic fervor that is going against Colin. I think that that's way out of bounds. But I do believe that he has that right. And some might say, hey, not against the flag. And, you know, we can talk about that, you know, as far as, is he doing it against the flag or is he doing it actually for a cause and a purpose more so than disrespecting the flag? But, man, we can go on and on about this one, man. That's a whole nother show in itself. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to have our next guest on here on The Double. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on The Double with the Double S Express.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. And we are going back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcoming in Joseph McGinnis with United Games. Joseph, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. Greatly appreciate you having me on.
Hey, now, Joseph, of course, bringing you on, man, this is an exciting time for Sean Wally and myself because, for one, we are partaking in something that you are strongly affiliated in and promoting, and that is United Games. And for those of our listeners who don't know about United Games, man, we're going to let you have the platform, and we're going to do something different that we normally don't do here on the Double. We're going to open up those phone lines. So for those of you who are listening right now, get a pen and paper together because we're going to ask you to call in and ask a ton of questions if you have them. That is 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. Now, Joseph, getting back to you, man, and United Games. Tell our listeners what United Games is all about.
Well, you know, thank you. United Games, I'll just tell you a little story of how I got into it because, I mean, United Games is just, it's phenomenal. You've got Jeff Henderson and Natalie Lewis who came from billion-dollar companies, managed billion-dollar companies, were high-level executives, came from the corporate world, and Jeff Henderson had a vision of creating the world's first live interactive sports app to enhance the experience of the sports fan. Basically, what he's dubbed this is kind of like the Facebook of sports. You know, when we watch a sports game, all of us make predictions, and we think, you know, this is what's going to happen on this drive. They're going to make a touchdown, or a turnover is going to happen, or a field goal is going to happen. Well, you're going to be able to do that inside this app. And not only will you be able to do that, but when something happens inside of the game, you will be able to chat and talk as much smack as you want to your friends and the people that you invite in your league. And so with this vision, they didn't have the technology available 8 to 9 years ago when he came up with this concept. And so what he did was, we do have the technology and we do have the bandwidth and the vision to be able to carry it out. And so he got the best game makers in the world. Mark Mongi, who is the former senior art director of EA Sports, brought you like Madden, when Madden and 2K were going at it. He was one of those guys that was on the team, the senior art director that literally brought Madden to prominence and knocked 2K football out. NASCAR and some other titles. Also, they have Ben Eggett and then also Jesse Merle. And if you want to Google those names, they have strong resumes. And they are the best and the most world-class game makers and app makers that money could possibly buy. And they are going to bring this first-of-its-kind live interactive sports app. It's going to go viral because everybody's going to love to play this thing. I just came from Vegas. I actually got to see it for the first time. And let me tell you something. It is world-class from start to finish. I don't watch soccer, but I'll tell you, because of this app, I will watch soccer now because it enhances every experience that you're going to have when you're watching sports.
Now, Joseph, now a lot of people interact with sports. And, of course, the past couple of years, we've had two major companies that were promoted by big sports organizations. And we're talking about DraftKings and we're talking about FanDuel. What is the difference between those two and what United Games is bringing to the table with the launch coming up?
I'm glad you asked that question because we've done a lot of research. And here's what we found. Is that only 20% of the market really participates in fantasy sports. When I say 20% of the market, I'm talking 20% of the fan base. And you know that DraftKings and FanDuel have made $1 billion a year each. So when you're talking 20% of the market and making $1 billion, there's huge money in it. However, what's happening to the 80%? Well, I'll tell you why I don't play fantasy. Because I'll tell you, if you pick all Seahawks, you know, defense and offense or whatever your team is, you're probably going to lose and lose royally, okay? That's just the way it is. And it's complicated as well. And so people are then cheering for things and cheering for people that they normally wouldn't cheer for because they're playing fantasy. So if I have a team that I don't like but there's a player on that team, I'm literally cheering for that player to do something on a team that I don't like. And so that's why 80% of the fan base isn't playing. So what we do and what they've created is virtual currency. So here's how it works. What you're going to do is you're going to go in there and you're going to be able to make predictions during the game. You know, so it's live and interactive. So they're going to ask you with each possession, do you think it's going to be a touchdown? Do you think it's going to be a field goal? How many yards do you think that if it's the Cowboys you're watching that Tony Romo is going to throw for? You're literally, well, not Tony Romo now since he got hurt, but however many predictions, they're going to have random questions, predictions that you're going to be able to make. And the awesome part about it is for each right prediction, you're going to get points. Those points are literally going to translate into buying things in a store, in a virtual store. So whether it's the ball caps, jerseys, iPads, all the way up to if you get enough points, which probably is about 7 to 8 years worth of points, but you can even buy a car, redeem a car with these points. So you don't win money. That's the difference. FanDuel and DraftKings they're gambling, and that's why they're coming under so much scrutiny because literally you're putting money up to win money. This is completely different. Think of it as a virtual arcade. You go into the arcade. You put money into it, you know, those bowling alleys that have those arcades now, and you put money and you get the tokens. You put the tokens into the games. You spit out the tickets. And then by the time you spent $20, you got two Tootsie Rolls. Well, you know, that's how this works, but on steroids.
So, Joseph, why should the average football fan, why should they be interested in United Games and what separates it from any other app out there?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, there has never been an app that with the talent, with the development, with the push behind it. The way the app world works is this. like with Candy Crush. Candy Crush made $1.3 billion last year. Clash of Clans made $4.5 billion. The app industry alone made $45 billion last year, okay? And it's projected by 2020 to make over $250 billion. So why I say this and why this is so significant is because you've got people who know this stuff, have developed apps for years, and are now putting a live interactive sports app together. Think about this. We all sit there and we armchair quarterback. We like, watch this. They're going to get an interception on this next play or this next drive. I have a feeling. Or watch, he's going to run this kickback for a touchdown. I mean, I remember when the Seahawks played in the Super Bowl and Percy Harvin returned that touchdown. I remember that because I said, watch, I have a feeling that Percy Harvin is going to run it back for a touchdown. I told my wife that, and boom, it happened. Well, in this app, when I do what I've already been doing, I'm going to be rewarded by points. And these are going to—they're going to be different leagues that you're going to have. You're going to literally be able to match yourself up against all the Seahawks fans or Raider fans or whatever you are. First, we're coming out with NFL and Major League Soccer, and then we're going to have European League Soccer, and it's going to bleed into every single one of the sports that are going to be out there. Soccer is the biggest; it has 3.5 billion fans, which is huge. So what's going to be different is it's not only football, okay, but it's going to be every sport that this app is going to be able to have you interact with and enhance your experience as a fan.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, it's your chance to be a Nostradamus of whatever game you're watching, whether it be football, soccer, what have you. And if you say that guy's going to run for a touchdown and you select that somehow within the app and that happens, then you get all these coins and you're amazing.
Well, see, what's going to happen is that it's going to ask you a couple things. You're going to create a profile when you get into the app. And then once you've created a profile of what sports you like and things of that nature, you know, what's going to happen is that you're going to get a chance to either play for free, which is nice. This is a nice part about the app. You're going to be able to download it for free, and you're going to be able to play it for free. And what they mean by playing it for free is if you want to play for free, you can literally watch commercials or watch ads, you know, and when you watch the ads, you can acquire tokens. When you acquire these tokens will allow you to play different games. So if you want to watch the Seahawks versus the Cowboys, you'll be able to spend a token, you know, to be able to unlock that game and make as many calls in the game. And what will happen is the screen will pop up and it will tell you, you know, all the things and all the questions it will ask you and the predictions that you can be able to make during the game. So that's exactly how the gameplay works. And within a week and a half or 2 weeks, what we're going to be able to do is the company's going to produce a video that is going to show people the gameplay, the actual app that you're going to be able to see once it comes out in October. That is going to be the launch month, is October for this phenomenal app.
Now, Joseph, my curiosity has already been piqued, and of course, I have gotten involved with United Games and getting things started. Of course, I did that through my brother, Pat Boyd, and of course, you know, I've been researching this. This is going to be an awesome and fun interaction, and I can't wait. So much right now, man, that we have to open up the phone lines right now. I believe we have a caller on, and I believe that it's Terrence. Is it Terrence that's on? Terrence, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right. So welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. You've got Joseph McGinnis of United Games. You have a question for Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph, I'm pretty much an avid EA Sports fan, and I just wanted to know exactly. So you said Disney Pixar was behind this?
Well, no, they're not behind it. What you're talking about is that you have Disney Pixar animators. That formerly worked for Disney. So these people have on their resume Disney, Pixar, EA Sports, Hasbro. They've done projects for them. Some of them the head, you know, senior art directors and things of that nature. So they have a team of people that have worked with those titles before. So in no way is EA Sports behind this, nor is Disney Pixar behind it. But when you have the talents of those type of people that are behind this, that's the level and the caliber of talent that you're going to see in the app when it comes out.
Did that answer your question, Terrence?
Yes, that did, and I am ready to sign up. So what do I have to do to sign up?
Holy smokes. Man.
Well, you know, Pat, you know, I'll tell you something. Sean and Sean will be able to help you out with that. They'll actually give you an email address that you could be able to give your information to, and all we need is your phone number, your email address, and then you could be able to sign up, brother.
Well, hey, I will definitely be leaving my email address on for anybody that wants to get started, man, because this is going to be a lot of fun. I thought it was Terrence. Hey, Terrence, thanks for being on, man. We got a couple other callers calling in, man. But, man, thanks for the question.
You're welcome.
It looks like we have another caller, Joseph and Sean, on. Man, this is something that's really taken off. I believe we have Mike in Olympia. Mike, you on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, good. Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. You have Joseph McGinnis, who is promoting United Games. You have a question for Joseph.
Still there?
Yeah.
We're here.
Go ahead. What's your question?
I just wanted to find out what the hype behind all of this UA games, and is it true you guys got, like, there's celebrities and people that are jumping on board this thing?
Well, so that's a very good question. I just came from Vegas, and I'll tell you, you know, the people that were there, you know, that were with United Games, Evander Holyfield being one of them. I actually got to meet the real deal Holyfield, okay? Bob Sapp, David DeJesus. John Buck, Nick the Kick Lowry, the Hall of Famer from Kansas City, you know, and many, many more. Ray Lewis, you know, people like that have caught the vision and jumped on as affiliates. In no way are we, you know, using their names to be able to promote this. You know, however, people are seeing the vision of how big this thing is going to be. It's going to be global and it's going to go viral. There's no doubt about it. And just so you know, there is a chance to be an affiliate with this. They have opened it up to be an affiliate, and that's what Sean and Sean are, you know. So pretty soon they're going to pause that enrollment, and then it will just be players. But if you, you know, want to be able to play the game, anybody can do that. Free to download and free to play.
Okay, that sounds exciting. So then one more question, if I have the time. Do we get an opportunity, like, will you be able to chat with some of these people, like, while you're playing this game?
That's a very good question, and yes, they're going to have an MVP section, you know. So, literally, the MVP section of the game is going to allow you to be able to play in leagues and things of that nature and connect with these different celebrities.
Great, man. Well, then, you know what? This is all exciting. I've heard so much about it. I wanted to call in and get some more information. I think I'm going to go ahead and talk to Sean some more about this and get this opportunity going for me and my family.
Absolutely. 100%.
Sounds awesome, man. Sounds awesome. So you guys just sit tight here, and I will give you my email address here in just a few moments. But, hey, thanks for calling in, Mike.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good
one. Mike, before you run there in Olympia, Washington, how does it sound to you? Does it sound exciting? I mean, I assume you're a big sports fan. You're listening to On the Double, and, you know, being in Washington, maybe you're a Seahawks fan, maybe not, but I'm just dotting the I's and crossing the T's there. So how does this sound from a 30,000-foot perspective for you as a fan?
It sounds like it's a great opportunity, especially, you know, talking about some of these celebrities that are getting involved and back in it. I understand there's no name dropping and whatnot, but it just, I mean, I'm a gamer. I like to play games on my app. I spend a lot of time on there and just kind of listening and kind of doing some research and having this opportunity to get a couple of those questions answered. Just elevate it to know that you can sit there and talk to people in the MVP section.
Awesome, Mike from Olympia, Washington. Thanks so much for your time and your questions tonight here on the Double.
Thank you, Double. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too, man. Boy, I tell you, Joseph, this this is amazing, man. And I knew that, you know, this interaction, you know, sports-wise was going to be something great. You had mentioned something a little while ago as far as you know, it not being gambling, because I know some people might have a hang up and go, oh man, you know, I did this FanDuel thing, I did this DraftKings thing, I dumped a ton of money in it and I got no return. But you're saying this is like something like a Candy Crush or a Pokemon Go, to where, I mean, and we all know what happened with Candy Crush and Pokemon Go. I mean, Candy Crush is still making money. So it's somewhere along the lines of there is what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, I mean, what people are purchasing is virtual currency. It's not real money. It's virtual currency. It's just like tokens in an arcade. You know, I love using that analogy because it's very simple. You know, it's like having an arcade in the palm of your hand, where you're literally allowed to, you're getting these tickets, like I was talking about, where you change the money, or so a person can either choose to play for free by watching an ad and acquiring tokens that way, or, you know, people can put their credit card up and say, hey, I want to be able to pay for tokens. So when I say you can play for free, absolutely you can if you want to watch ads. If you're not patient and you say, I don't want to watch ads, you know, then you literally can pay for it if you like. I mean, that's completely up to you. But that's why we say you can play for free. It's really your option. But when you're putting up money, you know, you are getting so many tokens to be able to play with inside the game. So what it is it's surely entertainment as opposed to betting, where you put money up and, you know, you're expecting to win money. That's not what's going on here in any way, shape, or form. It's allowing you to be entertained and interact with your favorite sports team and your favorite player like you never have before.
Sounds like an amazing opportunity, Joseph, that I know you're excited about, clearly, and we've had callers tonight that also want to jump on board. So do you have any downfall? I mean, is there any negative to United Games? It sounds like it's a free opportunity, a fun thing for sports enthusiasts. So why would people not do this?
Well, you know, it baffles me why people wouldn't. You know, and I'll tell you, it's just pure skepticism as to why somebody wouldn't and take advantage of at least, you know, like playing the game, because really everybody's going to hear about it. Pokemon Go did 50,000 downloads in 4 hours, okay? And everybody heard about it because of that. They broke the record. We have over 250,000 affiliates and even more pre-registered players. So when this app launches, when it hits in October, we are going to shatter that record, and not only are we going to shatter that record, you are going to hear about it all over the news. That is my prediction. So either you get on now before they pause the affiliate enrollment, because here's the thing about these guys and what they've done. It's very simple. The best form of advertising is what? It's word of mouth, right? And so the awesome part about this is that if you give people a piece of the advertisement, you know, if you give them a piece of, you know, the revenue, they're going to advertise, you know, even more for it. So that's what the affiliate program is all about. It's literally about being able to share a free viral sports app. That's what's going on, is sharing a free viral sports app, and you are literally going to get rewarded for doing so if you're an affiliate. If you're a player, you're going to love it. You're going to require points, and you are going to be able to trade those points into a virtual store for a myriad of prizes. That's basically how it works. So why somebody wouldn't get involved, at least as a player, that beats the heck out of me. I have no clue. And really, the only downside to it is missing this phenomenal opportunity and not getting back to Sean and Sean.
Now, Joseph, to be an affiliate and actually reap benefits, is there a cost involved outside of signing up online?
Yeah, there is actually a cost, and I'm going to tell you that. I mean, people want to know the downside of it. That's the downside. You know, I hate to tell you, but it is a bank busting $29.99 one time, and then a $9.95 technology fee every single month that you're going to have to pay. Now, I know $40 is a lot of money, you know, and it's going to break the bank, but I'm telling you right now, that's probably the only downside, and I'm being facetious, because let me tell you, I've spent $40 on a lot of stupid things before, and, you know, I tell people all the time, I'd rather spend $40 and be wrong than not spend $40 and be wrong.
Yeah. You know, I love the facetiousness, if that is a word, Joe, but yeah, you're definitely right, man, and, you know, one of the things that you mentioned about, you know, the difference between United Games, which I'm really excited about, and fantasy league, which I'm also partaking in. You hit something right on the head as far as like when we're talking about the DraftKings thing, and you know, you can pick all the Seahawks and, you know, the offense and the defense, and you can get blown out of the water, even though the team wins. Something tells me that you've done that seriously, though, even though you were joking. But, yeah, you can pick it's just a hunch, man. But you can pick your whole team, you know, your favorite team, and just get blown out of the water while they win. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Exactly. And that's why you've got only 20% of the fan base that is participating in fantasy sports for that very reason, because it's inorganic and it's unnatural to root for somebody that a team that you don't like. You know, look, I'll give you a little from Kansas City, and means I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan, secondarily a Seahawks fan. Okay, so if I were to pick the whole entire Chiefs lineup, I'm going to lose and lose royally. Now I'll tell you, and the team I cannot stand the most, and I hate to say this, and I'm probably going to lose some people here, but are the Donkeys, a.k.a. the Broncos, okay? Bottom line to it is, you know, I don't want to pick their defense, but they had one of the best defenses last year, if not the best defense. So if I want to win, I have to pick their defense. Well, I don't like doing that, nor do I want to do it, so that's a turnoff to me because I can't stand that team. So that prevents me from playing fantasy because it's completely inorganic because, in essence, in order to win, when they play the Chiefs, I am going to have to pick them to win and root for them to blow out my team.
Isn't that the worst? Isn't that the worst?
It absolutely is. And that is why we're giving you a new way to play that is completely organic with what we've already done. But now we got the most creative game makers in the world putting together a world-class app. And I'm going to tell you something. I cannot wait until this thing drops. It is going to be hot, hot, hot. Mark my words.
Now, Joseph, can I ask you a personal question as far as you building your team as we speak?
Yes, go ahead.
Now, how many people do you have as far as players currently in your development stage?
So I have over 14,000 people in my organization.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm actually the first guy to bring it to Washington State. So, I mean, I'm fortunate. I was blessed to be at the right place at the right time and build this thing right. So, you know, I do rallies down at the Loose Wheel, down at 709 on Mondays at 6:30. So if you want to learn more about it, you definitely can, and get back in touch with Sean and Sean, you know, because I'll tell you what, this is an opportunity that you do not want to miss, okay?
Now, Joseph, now for all the listeners who are there, you know, their curiosity is piqued. They want to know a little bit more, but it kind of has that feel to it. And the feel that, you know what I'm talking about, is this multi-level marketing or is this network marketing?
Nope. And I'll tell you why it's not. Because with network marketing, you have to continue to recruit and recruit and recruit and recruit. You never stop recruiting. Also, the nice part about it is the way the comp plan is written is that you don't make up. You get paid for tokens played and tokens acquired. So what that means is that if you guys invited me into one of your leagues and I played one of my tokens, though you are below me, you know, basically you came in by somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. You both are in my organization, so thank you. Appreciate it. And you didn't even know that, you know, but you are. And if I go into a league to play you, you make a commission off of me. You know, so that's the awesome part is that it's tokens played, tokens acquired, completely different. And then once we pause the affiliate enrollment, you will not have an opportunity to be able to enroll as an affiliate after that. And so here's the awesome part is that you stop recruiting and the app does everything for you. And then it's only a recruitment of players, which we already do. How many people get Candy Crush invitations? How many people get all these invitations on Facebook? Well, that's exactly what's going to happen with this thing. This is not network marketing. It is not multi-level marketing. It is far from that. This is an affiliate-based program. Did you know that Amazon had an affiliate program? Uber
no.
had an affiliate program? You know, what we are is we're an app development company, plain and simple. That's what United Games is. They are an app development company, not a multi-level marketing company. And guess what? Nobody gets paid off of the $29 one time, the $29.99, and the $9.95 a month. So So if I sign up somebody as an affiliate under me, I get nothing off of that. Where network marketing and multi-level marketing, you get a commission off of people that sign up. Here, it's this simple. Whether you watch an ad with inside the app to get a token or you pay for it, I make a commission as an affiliate, which is phenomenal. That's the difference.
All right. One last time, if you want to ask a question of Joseph McGinnis, 888-429-5471 to be on the double. Now, Joseph, what do you say to those people that think, oh, forget it, I missed the curve, it is too late to join United Games?
Well, what I would tell you is it's never too late. When it's too late is when they pause the affiliate enrollment and you didn't get in, okay? Because the nice part about this is that the company says that they only want 1% affiliate, 99% players, okay? So if you want to be part of that 1%, lock in your affiliate position now. That you are, I'm telling you, I said I'd rather spend $40 and be wrong than not spend $40 and be wrong, and this is one of the most phenomenal, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I really believe that this is our Microsoft, our Apple. And, you know, the guys in Silicon Valley don't want simple guys like us to beat down the doors and be in that club. Well, guess what? United Games has given us the opportunity to be a part of that club and make a life-changing income if you choose to do that. If you don't want to, at least play the app, because you're going to. You're going to hear about it, and you're going to download the app. Because how many apps each and every one of us have on our phones? We have tons. And how many sports fans are there out there? There's tons. And so I'm telling you, when you hear about it, just like Pokemon Go, I tell you what, I haven't downloaded Pokemon Go yet, but I know people who don't even know what a Pokemon is, nor do they like it, but they downloaded it to see what all the hype's about. And I guarantee you, you're going to do the same thing with this sports app. So either you're going to be one of those people who are, when they share it, to get people to play with you inside the app, you're either going to get paid for it or you're not. It's that simple. So if it's not for you, if money isn't for you, I would tell you, don't worry about it. You can still be a player. Being an affiliate and having freedom isn't for everybody. But if you want to be an affiliate, definitely go on ahead and take advantage of this one-time, lifetime opportunity, because I'll tell you what, $40, I know it's a lot of money, but, I mean, really? And again, I'm being facetious. Take the risk, and it's really not a risk. Do your due diligence. Do your due diligence. Get in this, because it's never, ever too late. When it's too late is when they pause the affiliate enrollment and you miss your opportunity. And that's about four weeks away tops. So lock in your position and start sharing, 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 sharing.
Joseph McGinnis sharing his passion from the 253, the Pacific Northwest. Joseph, thanks for your time tonight, sharing your knowledge of United Games.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, Joseph, before you leave, man, we've got Misty. We got another caller in here. Misty is on line two from Tacoma. Hey, Misty, welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, good. So you have a question for Joseph.
I do. One question that a lot of people I know that are listening that I have and that I've kind of expressed to them is, what happens to the people who don't get invited as a pre-register, but they download the free app when it comes out? Where do they go?
That's a very good question. So the awesome part about the company is that they, again, they, out of all the revenue that comes in, they're giving 43% of that to the commissionable pool and 57% themselves, which rightfully so, they can keep 100% if they wanted to, but they give us the opportunity to do it. To be able to partake in the revenue. So what I'm saying is that anybody that's heard about it, they have an algorithm that is literally going to distribute players to affiliates. So there is not going to be one player that's not going to have an affiliate. There's not going to be one player that is not going to have a person that is making a commission. That's the way it's going to work.
Awesome.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
So I'm already an affiliate, but I have people who are skeptical about it, and that was one of the biggest questions.
Oh, okay, okay. So you're waiting for the big launch then?
I am excited, yep.
Okay. Well, good. Well, it sounds like you got your question answered, and I appreciate you for giving us a call, Misty.
Perfect, thanks.
All right. Man,
thanks
Joseph.
Thanks for your call tonight, Misty. Man, people all over wanting to know what the deal is, how United Games works, and how people can make it big with this app that is not just football, but all sports.
Absolutely.
Well, cool, man. Well, how do I get this? I can give my email information out, and these people can give me an email, send me an email, and let me know what's going on, because this is huge, man. United Games. This is going to be something that's huge. You know what? I want to add a little bit more to this, Joseph and Sean, because you know how many times, and this is just what I'm thinking, how many times has a great idea come along? You know, whether it's like a Facebook or Microsoft or, you know, one of my buddies out here in Elk Grove, California, Chris Johnson, who made Rapid Ramen. You know, and Chris, if you're listening, man, you're doing some awesome things. He was on Shark Tank and that took off. But how many ideas have come and gone that we've just missed out on and thought, man, if I would only, you know, put my 2 cents in or whatever in the investment, then things would be okay. And I'm thinking this is along the lines, man. I wouldn't want to miss the opportunity is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, there's an interesting story real quick about that, because I had posted that here today. It's about Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, invited 5 people to his Harvard dorm room 9 years ago to discuss a business opportunity, and only 2 people showed up, and they got in. Today, those 2 people are billionaires. Dustin Moskovitz at $6.5 billion and Eduardo Saverin at $3.4 billion. Nothing is more expensive than a closed mind and a missed opportunity. A thinking about it for too long can cost you a whole lot of money and time. Taking action now can earn you a whole lot. It's your choice, your life. It's up to you to make a decision today.
Good stuff, good stuff. Well, hey, Joseph, man, thank you for coming on the double and sharing with our listeners what United Games is all about. And as I had mentioned to you, man, I am all in on this. This is going to be a lot of fun. And the time that I spent mostly with fantasy sports, I can tell you already that I'm probably going to put a little bit more time into I will put more time into United Games, because it just seems like it's going to be way more fun than, like you said, you know, doing something like rooting against your favorite team, because nobody likes that.
Well, absolutely. 100%. It's a different way to play, brother. That's what it is. And fantasy doesn't allow you to play along live with the game. This will. So you can play fantasy before the game, and you can play this during the game. So the game doesn't stop. The experience just gets better and more enhanced. So thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. I'm so excited that you guys are excited. And if you guys want to get involved with this, you guys mention your email, email them, and get involved. Say, how do I get in this? And let them go on ahead and lock your position in as an affiliate with United Games. And this is going to be a blast, I promise you.
Justin McGinnis with United Games, thank you so much for your time and your insights. We appreciate it. And hey, United Games, apparently the way to go for the future of sports.
Man, there goes Joseph McGinnis. Man, thanks for being on the show. And man, Sean, this has been, it's been an action-packed show. I mean, and I want to, for those of our listeners who are expecting, we had mentioned at the beginning of the show that we had 3 guests. And of course, Harold Presley was the guest that was supposed to be on. He'd given me a call. He's right in the middle of a fundraiser, a charity fundraiser, just ending with playing golf. He apologized. And so for those of our listeners who were looking forward to Harold Presley, former NBA player, Sacramento Kings, and 1985 NCAA champion for the Villanova Wildcats, who beat the Georgetown Hoyas, he will be on at a future date. So we apologize for that. But Sean Wally, other than that, man, this show was rocking.
Jam-packed for sure. And absolutely, Justin, geez, I did it again. Joseph McGinnis. Why I'm stuck on Justin, I have no idea. Joseph McGinnis in the 253 University Place area, suburb of the big town of T-Town, Tacoma, bringing it with United Games. And apparently, as Joseph was telling us, it It's the wave of the future, the Starbucks of coffee, the Microsoft of computers.
Man, so yeah, so how they can get a hold of us, Sean Wally, I'm going to go ahead and give out the email address so that they that the listeners can get a hold of us. You can send an email to, if you have a pen and paper ready, go ahead and send it to S as in Sam, E as in Edward, B as in boy, O, K as in kitten, A, P as in Paul, A, at MSN.com. That is Cbo Kappa at MSN.com. If you want any information on the United Games, go ahead and email. And, man, we're going to have some fun with this. I think this is a great interaction. And you know, we should have Joseph on periodically just to, you know, kind of give a barometer on how things are going and how much fun we're having. We might have to make a, you know, make him one of the advertisements for one of our commercials, man. What do you think, Sean Wally?
You know, without a doubt. I mean, if it's exploding as big as he envisions it, it's a great thing to get into right now, which may not be the bottom ground floor, but maybe level one or maybe floor two.
Yeah, you know, Joseph was talking about Candy Crush. And the only thing I keep thinking about all the people that were so excited. We talk about Pokemon Go, but Candy Crush. You remember how people were... How many times did you get an invite for Candy Crush so that somebody could get to the next level? Now think about that. And I was like, man, you know, it got so hectic that people were sending out, you know, messages on Facebook. Like, if I get another Candy Crush invite, I'm just going to explode. But man, some people are at level 3000 on playing Candy Crush, if you can believe that. And if this is an inkling of what Candy Crush has done or Pokemon Go has done, man, this is going to be a great, great, great interactive game that not only can you play against your friends, you'll be able to play against anybody. So I think that's cool.
Why not jump at it? It's a very, very minimal risk or none if you just want to play and experience football, soccer, all sports at a different level. And then maybe if you decide to be an affiliate, it very well could be that next cash cow.
No doubt about it. So recap, Mr. Wally, we've had a great show, as we had mentioned before. Guest number one on the double, Greg Bell, man. He's the Seattle Seahawks insider. And you can also catch him on Twitter at G Bell Seattle. And man, we talked about the Seattle Seahawks in their upcoming season, a little bit of Raiders action, because, of course, he covered the Raiders during the glory days of the Oakland Raiders, which hopefully that will happen again. And, of course, we talked about the Washington Huskies. And I do apologize to all the dog pound for mentioning the Palouse earlier. That I mean, between that and the Justin slips, man, we got to get better at this, Sean. I mean, you know, we've been doing this for far too long. We have too many listeners to be making that mistake. But I do apologize to the University of Washington, man, because Lord knows that I didn't want to do that. But, of course, Greg Bell is guest number one. And then our second guest, we had Joseph McGinnis, promoter of United Games. And, you know, we've talked about United Games and the great things that are happening. We've sent the email out, Sean Wally. It has been a great, great show.
And that's what we try to bring you here on the double. And we have gone into overtime for sure. So a big thank you to Doug Newsom at the BBS Radio Studios in Paradise, California. Sean Boyd down in the 916 Sacramento, actually Elk Grove Studios for DSX. And I am Sean Wally here in Selah, Washington. It's been a long show. On the double, it's been good. It's been fun. Sean Boyd, take us out.
Man, just as Mr. Wally said, man, he is up there doing some great things in Selah, Washington, Eastern Washington, in the studios up there. Mr. Doug Newsom in Paradise, yours truly at the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. This is a DSX LLC production. And like we always say here on the double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. United Games, here we come. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.